interrupting the current neo-Ukronial, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, see the news? They caught a little one. Nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 543. We got to get right to this, I think. Why? Because being free is not a spectator sport. We need to have all the understanding of the world, because I think it's reflecting back to us in the United States of America. As I've been saying, with the governments, any government is a killer. And what it does out there, it'll do to you. The United States is everywhere, it seems, trying to make effect, and they finally, the countries have finally said enough's enough. When I say that, it's not because I necessarily support those countries. I'm saying that's the global attitude. However, that's a cover too, as I've been trying to explain here, moving this forward. It all seems to work not so much for our benefit, and people haven't stepped up in their own power and rights, as I've been showing, that are available in order to protect ourselves. And I understand the problem with a lot of that, and I understand the frustration and the sense of futility, but the squeaky wheel will get the grease here, and then the rest of us will be greased, I suppose, as we start to see things. It's kind of interesting. This may be the PSA rolling out of here real quick. Is this a sinus medicine declaration of ineffectiveness by the FDA just in time for the jab push convenient? We have a story breaking here for a little while now, a few days. Leading ingredient in the over-the-counter decongestant doesn't work. And I read that and kind of thought about the names that they were using, and I may have done what a lot of people did, because the internet was abuzz that they were, they were taking away our stuffy head, fever, cough, and so you can rest medicine ahead of the COVID variant threat promotion that they've been bringing up, we've all been expecting. Remember, that's just the seasonal flu and the common cold. They've given it a title and they've focused everyone's attention on it, and they got lots of ground on that, and this wasn't a good thing relative to, well, in a way it's good. We can see how most of us failed, how most of us need to learn to not fail. It doesn't mean we're over. We just need to re-engage ourselves. But we didn't assert our rights, and the criminals wait for someone to come and arrest them, is what I can see how this thing works. And there's a couple ways to go do that, quite a few actually. But let's take a closer look, because the internet went nuts, like the decongestants were being taken away from us for symptoms, essentially, because you're not fighting the cause, right? And this is the whole interesting thing that kind of had play on this. But let's read a little bit closer. Let's look closer. Did they take away our fight the COVID swindle symptom medicine? The Food and Drug Administration reviewed the data on what's called phenylephrine, an ingredient in many decongestants, and deemed it ineffective when taken orally. A key ingredient in the popular decongestant, such as Sudafed, PE, Benadryl, Allergy Plus, Congestion, and Dayquil, Cold and Flu, doesn't relieve nasal congestion when taken orally, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA panel, concluded in a Monday meeting Tuesday. That's because when taken orally, less than 1% of the drug actually ends up in the bloodstream and thus reaches the ends of the, ends up in the bloodstream and then thus reaches the tissues of the nose that it's supposed to help. The committee reported in a memo from the meeting, phenylephrine is supposed to work by constricting blood vessels in the nose and sinuses. So that was pretty serious. They're taking away our decongestants, but a couple things popped up. And one of the things was the name Benadryl, which also popped up but didn't catch my attention. So I was a little bit leaning on, well, did they come and do this? Did they take away our remedies? And the Benadryl caught my eye. And a couple other things, specifics, caught my eye, but I didn't key on them. So Benadryl, it was interesting to me. I was thinking generally it wouldn't work. They're saying it's ineffective. And I have some, not for sinus, but as an antihistamine, which it's on the label says it's supposed to do, to temper bee sting reactions. As you said, as you know, I was trying to get feral bees to harbor in a hive, and I wanted to make sure that I had at least something, a stopgap for the antihistamine to stop bee stings, not knowing if I was going to make it or not. I never had that test. So what gives here? What gives? It doesn't work. Benadryl doesn't work. Well, again, remember what we're talking about is for symptoms only, whatever the name used for them relative to any promoted COVID swindle. If we were thinking this is for colds and flus, because one of the names in products was cold and flu, but the any COVID swindle variant is doesn't exist, folks. There is no test. There is no the virus. I wish there was. There is going to be a test for their chemical weapon, that thing they invented, the CDC invented in 2003. But there's no the virus pursuant to communicable disease law. There is no evidence that there is, and no jurisdiction globally or around the world found that out. And that's what my big gripe for you all was, to observe that and push that forward. Say, no, this was a thing you needed to do. But let's read it even a little bit closer, because I was even on the swing that maybe they were moving on us to take away our symptom medicine, thus those of us that take this stuff. The editor's note we rolled down to, we see this story was updated on September 13th to correct an error that stated that Allegra D does not contain the phenyl product, but pseudoephedrine. Phenylephrine is not in that product. And I said, oh, well, okay, maybe that's, I missed the thing that caught my eye. Well, this is specific in certain products. And so not all, we look and we read closer so we don't get all blown away about this stuff. And this wouldn't be the end all be all, because you've heard Behind the Woodshed, you know, if you've listened, if you're one of my listeners, like you've already done research, and you find out that there's herbs and nutrition that'll help too. And we can kind of continue to look at that. Not here at this broadcast, just as an option that we would probably be living in as a lifestyle, but not all over-the-counter decongestant products such as those with pseudoephedrine are under the proposal, just certain ones. And these names are pretty big names, and that's what caught everyone's attention, it seems, like Tylenol, Mucinex, and Benadryl. But they were for certain sinus and allergy remedies. So the Benadryl I have isn't even either of these two. It's something else. But interestingly, in my mind, it was, we were watching through the COVID swindle tests, and they always have the saline was more dangerous than the jab, and we talked about that. But if anyone thought those here, looking back, if you thought this has been like since 1970s, this chemical has been in here, this ingredient, if you thought those worked, what's the actual ingredient? But the FDA says it doesn't. The panel doesn't find any evidence of it. Or have you just found out your mind, the placebo effect, is a powerful medicine, and you have a lot of money you can save. I found this kind of an interesting look, you can always use it as something else. You can, everyone else can continue. Those of you that didn't have the effect or never used the product, don't know. Everyone can continue to treat their common cold flu symptoms with other over-the-counter medicines if you need to, or the nutrition or the herbs. Just don't get it. Just don't catch the cold or the flu. And sometimes you can go for years and not have any of this stuff. As you have been. So the Benadryl I have here, though, is diphenhydramine hydrochloride. It's a totally different chemical. It's not taken off. So I did lean on the side of, were they actually moving on this? But no, we got the internet moving like that, but you can't. We have to analyze it. That's why I'm taking some time to show us. I looked and blew right past the chemical, and my mind was thinking ephedrine, and it wasn't. So even reading quick, trying to get the information, trying to get lots of information on what's going on, I missed a clue, had to read a little bit closer. That's what it takes. And now, hopefully, I can breathe easier, and you can too. This really took the internet by a little bit of a storm, but now we move into the more serious stuff, where I was telling you they're going to adjust as they move on these things. The decoupling an organic source to include chemical weapons, this next story, those who have listened to me for any time should be able to answer to this question here on this report, especially if you read your communicable disease law. Why isn't this a vaccine? This report here, University of Montana, working on vaccine for fentanyl heroin overdose. A vaccine to prevent overdosing of fentanyl and one for heroin are in the works at the University of Montana and partner institutions. UM researcher Jay Evans, who leads a campus center working on the vaccines and co-founded university corporate partner InImmune, says recently the vaccine is unusual in that it's generating an antibody response against a drug rather than against a bacteria or virus. The vaccine includes an ingredient from Prevotoni's team that elicits the production of antibodies against the target opioid, and it includes an ingredient from UM research team called an adjuvant, which boosts the effectiveness of a vaccine. Let me just touch on this, because I tested this word last week and pointed it back to the pig's fly flu. And these adjuvants are what stimulate your immune system. They're not necessarily as innocuous as it sounds here. They boost the effectiveness. No, they cause your system to turn on. This is one of the things that causes the reprogramming, if you will, the RNA messenger to move into the cell and give it to the organ that attaches it like a zipper to create a hybrid DNA, which the cell then uses and moves on to what it does. But here we have the word adjuvant again. Our adjuvants improve the vaccine response, providing a stronger and more durable immunity. And we found that that's not necessarily the case. And there's also, and this is a past study, a long time ago, over a decade that I was talking to you behind the woodshed, they also have their own adverse effects, even though they'll talk to us about being natural. And remember, this was a lipid protein, what they tried to sell us down the river on, those of us that didn't opt into it, with the Comey swindle. And those lipids could be, and likely were, because they said that they did the same thing. They stimulated your immune system to work and cause this. They have four lipids that are in package to go through the processes of the body so that they cloak themselves as they deliver the payload. In a news release about the vaccines, UM noted its Center for Translational Medicine and Immune Together employ 70 people, and the team is also working on vaccines targeting SARS-CoV-2, the influenza virus, tuberculosis, monkeypox, pertussis, stop me when you haven't heard something here, folks, Lyme disease, malaria, E. coli, allergy, and cancer. Boy, that sounds real familiar, doesn't it? So why isn't this a vaccine, folks? What did you hear? Did you hear what that is? And did you compare what I've been, even if you haven't read your communicable disease law, which I'm telling you, you need to reread it. You need to know what those duties are that have to be done so you can challenge whether or not, well, if they have it, you challenge that they have it, and that doesn't give the health authority jurisdiction to talk to you, to do anything. It'll trespass upon you if they do. And until they do, then even then, it's not their control. It's just that they have suspected you of being the principal of a carrier, the principal of contagion for the infectious agent they did find. And there might be one. So I don't know. But if they're not doing any of this, you need to challenge that. But why isn't that a vaccine? Because if you read, you listened very carefully, you heard the answer. Because it needs to stop transmission. In a communicable disease law, if there's an infectious agent that needs to be stopped, not mitigated, not slowed up, not long COVIDed, not slowly brought back to bear, no, stopped completely. And this is absolute. These are strict compliance. Now, because it doesn't stop a transmission of an organic infectious agent. I'm hoping you're picking this up as I'm reading. I know I kind of talked a little fast, I suppose, and lots of information, but this is coming in a time you have to start absorbing this stuff quickly to be able to have the answer so that you're not confused or you can't be confused or you don't have to wait time to go do it. I've been talking long enough. Those of you that have listened to me should be able to pull this together, and it's not a lot of work. Once you hear it and once you see it for your eye, get it in your eyes, this is not too hard. But this is how they get it end around. This is how the whole future plan is going to be. They're going to move something just aside of where it's supposed to be and scoot it by everybody because no one said, wait a minute, you just did a violation. Penalty. And then you call them on it and you make it stick. There's no organic infectious agent in a drug addiction, is there? Drug addiction isn't an infectious agent. So relative to communicable disease law, this can't be called a vaccine right there. It can't stop when it doesn't exist either. I want to point out, as I've been telling you, they've been adjusting these rules. They started adjusting the rules first and then the laws started to come through. And they started to bring in this adoption of the CDC foreign imposition, where the states had the obligation and duty to stop the nonsense. They never did, and nobody called them on it. But this kinds of thing, where they're making it look like they can stop an opioid addiction, and it's interesting technology. Don't get me wrong. If they can do this, then more power. Except we're missing the problem, aren't we? We're still allowing the addiction, but now we're letting pharma try to fix it. When we should be stopping it out front, not letting it come in. We should have people, we should have a society that chooses not to take it instead of making the conditions where they choose to take it. There's lots of things here that we could go on and talk about. I won't do that here. I don't really have all the answers anyway. But so this is interesting technology. However, you noticed it was in the list of other things that the NIH is involved in and Fauci was involved in. All these folks are together like this. And these are these special new remedies. They've been trying to work on this cancer for a long time like this. We know we didn't hear HIV here, but I'm sure it's part of the list of the history that they're bringing along. But this will be used. This kind of a thing here where they're going to stop a non-organic thing will be amended into local code if we're not careful, or even if we are careful, but we don't take action and watch it, to include things to allow chemical weapons, just like the warp speed jab juice with its lipid adjuvants, such as I was saying long ago, the natural squalene, and remember with the pig's fly flu. In other words, I know you do, but identified this since before the swine flu, and that these would be vaccines when pigs fly. And as it looks like they're trying to do, I think that they are working on even getting that to happen, and then they'll be able to push all this thing right through on us. Instrumental into the support of all this is private organizations and the future they want. This is all part of the future they want. I believe it's a, as I've said before, they set up the dragonfly to chemically to receive the package that they could then use as a drone. We talked about that. They set up chemical delivery systems in people to prepare you for the next step. It's like a binary, trinary weapon. It's a manual. You have to prepare something to accept something else. This is done chemically. You have organizations that come in and set up your governments. They set you up for a takedown. We accept it. They get the people to pay for it. This is all part of the takedown of the future that they want, not the one that's for us. And again, I can look around. I'm sure if you look around the world, you wouldn't be doing a lot of the stuff that's going on. And certainly a lot of it stopped making sense. So either we have lots of lunatics that are running psychopaths, running the show. And that wasn't supposed to happen. We weren't supposed to let that happen. Or I don't know what else to say. I think they're psychopaths. I think they're all suffering a psychosis if they're not, as I just mentioned to somebody on the Twitter, the fact that we give too much, I think it was a Truth Free Media making a comment. Here's a Arden talking about we're going to freedom of speech is a war weapon, and we have to stop freedom of speech so that we get to speak. And she said this is the most Orwellian speech I've seen. I said I think are we giving too much to Orwell? Which is really more a psychosis, some form of psychosis, some lack of ability to understand reality, and then you get in a seated decision, and your lack of reality becomes everyone's reality because that's what you start deciding on. At some point, we're going to have to stop this mental abuse that we're now suffering on this and put it down. But groups, there's lots of money involved. There's this future they want. They want to bring it along, a big influence, lots of name people. Supporting all this, you know, we have Bill Gates and all their foundation, and the Gavi that ran all these things, these pharmaceuticals through on the European side. We have here the Clinton Foundation. I'm moving now into the Clinton Foundation. The future they want, they need these vaccines. They need you to be compliant. They need to reprogram you. They need to bring you down. They need to profit from you. All these things are built together. I've heard that this kind of an idea is a conspiracy theory, whatever that anymore means that the CIA, the term CIA made up to be dismissive of somebody, to cause other people to be dismissive of that idea. This is not conspiracy. If you go through and you can predict that they're doing this, and then it does, like I did with Kobe swindle, then it's a plan. And so it's not I don't worry about the I don't really get too much into the concepts of people calling you names, being conspiracy theorists. At some point, there's a set of facts that you follow, and they could mean that they're leading you somewhere. And I say they could be because you have to make sure your facts are right. Maybe one's wrong, and it adjusts your early on. If it's an error early on in your travels, you could be way off on your destination. If not, then maybe not so far. But we could put this together. All these organizations, non-governmental organizations, are working. Clinton's pop up. This hit, I think, hit the internet too, a bit. But another cancer in the world that needs to be treated, I wish they'd be using this stuff on themselves, is this Clinton Global Initiative 2023. And this kind of starts to wrap stuff up around itself, around the news we've been hearing, and the big deals in Congress and all this. But the Clintons are still involved in this nonsense. Rebuilding Ukraine humanitarianly, if they want to say, like Haiti hasn't Ukraine suffered enough here, where we see the Clinton Global Initiative, it should have happened already. I want to call our attention to it because who was involved? And it's all these people that are bringing all this stuff on, where if you look at underneath this pharmaceutical story, a vaccine for a drug addiction can't exist. They're going to push it anyway. They need that. They want to be able to put people into servitude. You saw the list of things they're going to work. How many people are getting cancer? You're going to be one of these victims. If we don't get a handle on this, and these so-called humanitarians that are coming forward to help us, underneath these agendas that are driving it, and part of it's population control, and the government of the United States is the government. The older folks need to be weeded down and taken out quicker because of the looming debt problems that they have for their trust obligations and Social Security and things like that. Clinton, a global initiative to return September 18, 12, to 20 of 2023. And this was interesting. The condition is on the surface didn't seem like much. I was going to look right past it, and then I found out something. And again, I said it here, and it is. I mean, there's really nothing new. They're starting, and they don't go away. The cancer continues. You can think you got it killed off. You have the best technology. You can have all the cancer treatments you want, but this stuff is tenacious. The Clinton Global Initiative announces new proposal to help rebuild Ukraine. Now, I want to point out here, this is not about Ukraine. Ukraine is just this theater. It's just this focal point. It garners a lot of donations. It garners a lot of sympathy. It ought not to, but it does. The global, and a list of here on the next link I have for us, is just a quick breakdown. Instead of looking at the Clinton Foundation page, which I was reading from just a moment ago, and all the people they have, I noticed later on that there's two people that were mentioned in this list that I thought were interesting, that we get to show how this thing wraps up so tight about the future they want is coming, and it's planned, and it's going to be planned, and there's not much we can do. Our Second Amendment's not going to stop this one. I keep telling people that. I don't know if they appreciate that. We have to roll our sleeves up in a different way, and it's not going to be the Second Amendment. I told you, if we go that way, then we may not have been as high-minded as we thought. And I don't mean that being high, and I don't mind that mean that the new form of high. I mean being morally minded. We don't want to, maybe we don't want to answer it that way. It could be, but maybe not for each one of us to make that better decision. The Clinton Global Initiative has announced a new organization to help rebuild Ukraine and provide humanitarian aid those impacted by Russia's 18-month invasion. And so we already see the propaganda right there. Anybody who's been searching this at all, reading about it, studying it, understands what Ukraine's about, what Russia's about. And you don't have to like either one. You don't have to embrace either one to understand there's a bunch of law being broken. There's a bunch of contracts being broken. And there's a bunch of hypocrisy and excuses going on. But Clinton's coming again. Just like they went and destroyed Haiti. You're supposed to think that they're going to help out humanitarianly. Is that a word? No, it doesn't work that way. It's like U.S. aid. It's the front end of a spear that's going to come and shaft everybody all the way to the hilt. And that was a sword, not a shaft. But anyway, in New York, officials in the Clinton Global Initiative 2023 announced CGI, a Ukraine Action Network, as well as numerous financial pledges to support nonprofits working in Ukraine as the two-day annual conference opens Monday. The news organization, which will be formally announced Tuesday, is designed to mobilize existing CGI partners and other leaders, folks. Are you a grouper? You after that leader that has the bait? You grab on that hook and they can yank you out of the water and club you? Yeah, that's what they do. Leaders for around the world, they're tied to another line, to a fishing pole, to a fisherman. Don't be that fish. Don't be that grouper. The other leaders from around the world to create finance new commitments for Ukraine. Now, there's another thing here. If you know about what's going on in Ukraine, these people have lost it. There's no way they could commit to the future of Ukraine with the way this is going and with the plan, unless it is a global plan, and that this is all, again, as I said, it's a show. It's serious to Russia. They've got geopolitical seriousness going on, but as this thing works through to globalism, the thing that they want to say is now kind of on the rocks, as I've been explaining to you how it's not. We're going to touch a little bit of that too, but show you it just weaves its way through this whole global thing. These people aren't going away. They continue to foster and encourage this. And this wasn't so interesting, actually, to me. None of this stuff really, in this case, really is. I just know there's people out there doing this stuff, and nobody wants to step up and understand what they're doing to stop it. Now, I say nobody. Well, there's nobody. A lot of us will talk about it. We tried it to Jefferson Mendez. We attempted our best with what little crew we had. We did stop it, and I learned how you can stop it. But there's not enough of it. We needed to do this in every jurisdiction. I mean, counties. Because this is where your power ends up being relative to stopping all this. Then you turn to your state, because that's where the subversive leverage funding, which they're getting paid from, how they do this. And they get it started by these groups, these big foundations. And I'll read again a couple more issues. And I'm not really here looking at Ukraine. This is just to cover what they want to tell you they're going to do, because everyone feels warm and fuzzy about helping the Ukrainians. And the folks over there need to be helped, but they need to be helped from their own government and the United States government, which is using those people as fodder to advance other things. We'll launch a network to provide new humanitarian aid. Another story, and then this is where it got interesting. Not that it's interesting that we don't know it. It just got interesting. I didn't hear that and see this guy in the first list of this meeting that they were going to have. Pope Francis urged all people to do their part in addressing the world's problems, especially climate change, and the care of children, to open the Clinton Global Initiative Monday in New York in a talk with former President Bill Clinton. Quote, "We are in need of a great and shared assumption of responsibility," the pontiff said through a translator in a video conference with Mr. Clinton. Quote, "No challenge is too great if we meet it starting with the personal conversion and the personal contribution that each of us can make to solve it. No challenge can be overcome alone, not alone, only together, sisters and brothers, children of God." And let me go back up, and did you pick it up? You're talking about an assumption of responsibility, shared. That's nothing more than Agenda 2030. And I told you all about that. And they got debt. It's about debt and about getting you in it. But here the Pope shows up right with this and opens the thing with the Clinton. Well, these people are connected, aren't they? Then it got a little bit more interesting. Part of, again, I don't know. It's not that interesting because you know it's going on, but they're not stopping it. And this, the problem about not stopping it is that they're bringing on and they continue to control more people to death. And we're not really paying attention to that. We think we're going to sit in our living room with our Second Amendment self-defense appliance screaming at the top of our lungs, "You're going to take it from my cold, dead fingers." You're going to realize they're going to turn off your power. They're going to keep you from being able to buy food, do anything, get around. They're going to keep all this stuff. Pretty soon you're going to be sitting in your living room and you'll have cold, dead fingers because you starved to death or something, cold, froze to death or something like that. And they'll pry that gun away, but you'll never have been able to use it. Your life will have been diminished by shared responsibilities. Everywhere you turn is going to be taken away from you, and you're going to either capitulate or you're going to make it be rough for sure. And it's a long, slow road that way, but it's always going to be going down unless you pull it together. Pope Francis meets with former U.S. President Clinton. We saw some of these stories. It didn't really make a big deal, but here out of the Vatican News, so I'm getting the source from the horse's mouth, or the fish hat's mouth, maybe, the groupers and leaders, with their bait. Pope Francis on Wednesday afternoon, July 5th, received former U.S. President Bill Clinton in Casa, at the Casa Santa Marta. A pontiff's meeting with the American politician was held in a private, and topic discussed was peace. What this ends up being is that working that out, about coming together to work this out, and Pope Francis jumped right on it. But what was also interesting, but not mentioned until we get to another story, was the fact that Soros' son was involved. So it gets curiouser and curiouser and more interesting in that regard. This is a closed family, a big closed family. They're on an agenda. They're planning together. They got the wherewithal to pull it off, and this is going to happen. Earlier this summer, Pope Francis received Mr. Clinton in a private audience in the Vatican St. Marta residence. Clinton was accompanied by Alex Soros, son of billionaire George Soros. Alex Soros is the chairman of Open Societies Foundation, OSF, and a WEF young global leader and the champion for the LGBT abortion and abortion lobbies, and heir to the legacy of the global disruptor George Soros. The 37-year-old Soros has recently took control of the multi-billion dollar OSF, spent the 4th of July, Independence Day, 4th of July in Albania with Clinton, the former president of the United States. And that's pretty very interesting. So they get the Pope to open up. I talked in 2015 all about the Pope and his involvement with this green agenda. He's not infallible. He's infallible. That he talks this way, it shows it's infallible. It's just a front and a setup. And they are, again, they're organized. Well, you may not think it's going to come to home, but this is Clinton. This is the United States. This is the Clinton Foundation. These people are in your backyard. And they already have their fingers already into this. The interesting diversion seems to be that we're going to do this in peace and unity and shared responsibility. No one's asking you, but that's what they're going to do. To have shared responsibility means you have nothing but responsibility. And you'll love it. You'll like it. And that's what Klaus Schwab was talking about. All these people are very interestingly still tied together, still working. And I hear nothing like this type of organization. In a way, it'd be good if we didn't, but it still worked. It's been working through the sinew and the skin of the society that we had in the counter movement. But I don't hear any counter movement. I hear lots of confusion. And as I talk with people, I hear lots of misunderstanding or lack of understanding. And I'm not talking in judgment. I'm saying that there's a lack of understanding. And that's going to misguide us. I don't worry about misinformation. Our own misstudies will misguide us on what we think we need to do. We end up doing a lot that we don't need to be doing. And these folks don't do that. They know what they want. They know how to get it. They have a big army of people around the globe. They got the influence. They got the Pope, no less. And, I wonder, anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not about a religion either. This is all politics. Like the green religion is not about a religion. It's all politics. But the U.S. and the Clintons and the Pope are all supporting democracy, which is the other understanding here. Underneath, when they speak of Ukraine, they're talking about the promotion of the United States doing democracy. And that's what we're supporting. Can't be anything furthest from the truth, but that's what people want to believe. And anybody who researches this, and I'll just go quickly to 2014, that's where most people stop right there. And that's important because that's where the United States overthrew a democratically elected government. Now, the problem with the 2014 not being the beginning is that the Ukraine was already always established as a rump state. It wasn't really a full state. It had big encumbrances all over it when it was created in when? Back in ancient times? No, just in 1991. So this was a modern state created with agreement of major powers that the United States turned on that agreement like they showed and have turned on many, or they created agreements like in the Minsk agreement within this context that they never intended to follow. It was set up to delay and allow them to try and prepare for a war they never held. And we know it wasn't a war because you don't fight a war giving somebody to fight for you the bullets as you shoot them or less, or count them, or give them a tank that may or may not work. No, if you're going to fight a war, you come to the war. And you lay it out there. You don't go piecemeal at it. So that was the first thing. But we know that the war was actually an economic war. The United States lost immediately. I told you about that. You know all about that if you research this. But they won't be hunted down. This is democracy now. The Clintons and the Pope and the humanitarian, all this high, warm and fuzzy stuff, they will be hunted down. Ukrainian military speaker threatens Russian journalists. The problem with this is that, well, it's bad enough it was a journalist and it was focusing on Russia, even though it's coming from the Ukraine. But this ends up being on anybody that would speak that sounded like they were supporting Russian cause. Likely they could listen behind the woodshed and think, because a lot of people partially listen, don't listen long enough, and I don't speak totality on every moment, so you have to listen for a while to pull it all together. When they were listening to me and they were hearing how much I would be saying, well, Russia has this and that, I could be considered a Russian propagandist. This kid was saying that they're going to hunt y'all down. And so this got really big really fast about democracy, a word of voice coming from somebody, the Clintons and the Pope and the President Biden and the administration and the military wants to support democracy. And their spokesman comes out and says, well, spokes it, I guess I have to say. We don't gender confusion on this guy, but or gal. Anyway, They will be hunted down. Ukrainian military speaker threatens Russian journalists. This really didn't go over so well, but they were pretty adamant about it. And we move into the support. Remember the LGBT promotion that's coming underneath all this stuff. And I wondered whether or not this kid, when he starts talking like that, first of all, it's a bit shocking to hear a government actually being open like that. But, you know, this is just full antagonism and theater. You can't just look away from this one, because we've heard, at least I've seen what appears to be enough evidence that these people are crazy. These Ukrainian folks, these military folks are nuts. It's not a joke about their being Nazi. It's not about a joke about that. That's what they fulfill. They have an elite idea about what they should do, and everyone else is second class, like some other group of people chosen in the world, we're told. And this is a pretty scary thing to be on the front end. When you see the people, the press, that actually get shot over in Ukraine, that die, and some of them are intentionally so, you start to understand this is not an idle threat. But being that he's an American kid that was over there and put into the spokesman that's LGBTQ promotion. I just wondered whether or not, like Bud Light, it's time for the Ukraine brand to lose shelf space, market share, and influence for its panic and rash actions. Did I say rash? Zelensky's terror team, why the West looks like the other way when Ukraine's secret murder squad kills journalists and activists. That's the Pope agreeing. That's the Clintons agreeing. That's all the list in the Clinton Initiative that's agreeing. That's the Bidens. That's the military. All agreeing to kill journalists and activists. Now, if they're going to kill them, what's Julian Assange? What's any one of us? Essentially, I don't know why there was ever the distinction made by the United States courts that only the press had the right to press, right to speak, in the sense of news. And so that's lately, I think I've seen two court cases that's pretty starting to extinguish that distinction. Each one of you can be a journalist and an activist and someone with a right to free speech and all that. And no one has the ability, although they've been getting some traction, the ability to call what you do a derisive word, an extremist of whatever. But Zelensky's terror team, why the West looks the other way. You can look at the threats and tactics that would be instantly labeled unacceptable against any other country gets a pass when applied to Russians. But the way it's coming through and who's doing it looks like a Bud Light commercial to me. And maybe the brand needs to be rejected. Maybe it's time to go to your congressman, because they have the purse. They have your purse. Your fourth and full faith and credit is your purse that they decide. Maybe it's time to go tell them, and you have some momentum if you do this. It's time to stop funding this nonsense. Ukraine, so we have to move on. We kill the brand. Well, they just saw these companies that are going this LGBT promotion, and I don't. And just for the record, do what you want with yourself. That's fine. Have your feelings. That's fine. Don't force it politically on everybody. Keep that to yourself. That would probably give us a lot of room here. We could all function. We don't have to have it in our face. And we can actually give some empathy, if you would, where you're not being a spectacle and not making demands and not threatening to kill people, not causing trouble for people. Maybe we would have more empathy for what you're doing. And I'm just speaking what my friend decades and decades ago was telling me. He was a gay man, terrified of where this stuff was going to go. And you see, now it's got influence. But as a Bud Light, I guess the Ukrainians looked at this and said, "We're not going to let the taxpayer understand that we may have a problem here, and we do have that issue where we see the taxpayers are the consumers of this, and the taxpayer for the United States pays for what's going on there. So, like the Clintons and the Pope and the Biden administration and Soros and all these other folks, they're all in on it." And they're all doing this. This is all supporting. Well, that didn't last too long. Ukraine suspends death threat. Transgender military spokesman promised to hunt down the Russian propagandists. And that caused outrage amongst U.S. conservatives. Is that all? This is the problem with America, then. This should have caused outrage, period. It doesn't matter the transgender part, either. Our journalists should be... I don't want to say sacred, but we, as a people, it used to be the journalists were helpful in ferreting out problems. In the political realm, there's a lot, they did lots of stuff, but we would be able to see where we didn't have the time of the day in our lives to do so. They would focus, that's what they did. They would tell us information. So they do form and can form a very important part of our lives relative to this type of organization, establishment of government that we have. Ukraine suspends a death threat transgender military spokesman, and the name's Ashton Kirillo, is a biological man who worked as a Democratic Party activist in the United States before moving to Ukraine following the start of the Russians' military operation last year. They said pronoun it was doable, it was acceptable. So it was hired as the Territorial Defense Forces English language spokesman in August, a decision that critics say was intended to curry favor for pro-LGBTQ Western audiences. Republican Senator J.D. Vance took notice of the video last Friday and wrote a letter to United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Quote, I worry American resources could be supporting violence or the threat of violence against people for speaking their mind, Vance wrote, pointing out that any critic of American incoherent policy in Ukraine has been slandered as a propagandist, including multiple presidential candidates and American journalists. Rillo responded on Monday, stating, I only answer to three groups of people, my Ukrainian commanders, the Ukrainian people, and the American taxpayer. See, the taxpayer must be insulated from the truth. And these folks got rid of him real quick. That didn't get, the internet didn't miss that one. Netizens mock suspension of Ukrainian military spokesman after anti-Russian hate video. It's very interesting too, throw the word hate in, because that's what it ends up being. I don't care what your identity is. When you start getting hateful, you're just hateful. I don't care who you are. And so the problem here is the underestimated backlash. That's you, my listener, and anybody in the future, the backlash, that letter, getting that representative to write the letter, the backlash, the people saying, I've had it. That's enough. We're stopping it. And don't give up on what your passion is to stop that. Here we have in this one, many netizens have reacted sarcastically to the suspension of Ukrainian military spokesman Ashton Kirillo after the 46-year-old posted a video threatening to hunt down Russian journalists. You can read just to hear. The point is that you have a say. And you don't just attack for no reason. These people need to be moved out the way and gone. The censorship is about the actual threat, and that's underneath of freedom of speech. You don't do that. I mean, that's where the limits are, is when you start to threaten people, cause people to go threaten and hurt people. You're not supposed to do that where you cause damage. You don't have to have a freedom of speech to be held liable either. However, that's how you hold this one liable. I don't care what their identity is, it or otherwise. We don't need to hear in the world that people should be hunted down and killed because they either study issues, report on them, be the witness to certain things, are there to see it. And Ukraine's a terrible example. It's a great example of how the military there, the government, has no, absolutely zero idea relative to anyone that's the press. They've arrested all kinds of people. Sometimes they let them go. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes you hear about them. Sometimes you don't. Gonzalo Lira still out there, and Antony Blinken's not doing anything about that one. But so we have an interesting world here, the global connection, the global reach, the globalism. We do have a way to speak. The backlash became important here. I think that needs to be done more, not just from the keyboard, though. I think, like I said, you saw there was physical things of people that have authority, not us, the peons, not the taxpayers or those of us in the country. No, only certain people that get voted into office, they're the ones that have a say. And so the check and balance would be that you can kick them out if you want. And I do believe that is a check and balance for those of you that think that voting, at least the federal, means anything. But locally, you can possibly do stuff. But as you get involved, it becomes that frustration again. Now, we've worked for years trying to get the government people are they get voted in office are just people that are getting voted in office. It doesn't mean they know much. And I'm not saying it as a judgment because there's just so much to know. But what you're looking for is people to get in office that will listen and then take stock, intelligent enough to assimilate what you're saying, because you do have a real problem. You don't bring something that's just not really big, because right now we're looking at some really big problems. And this one seems to be a big one. You get a government spokesman who you have the Pope. Can you imagine this fallibility built into all this thing, promoting the so-called democracy? And you see what they talk about in democracy includes climate change and shared responsibility. That's, again, 2015, I talked all about what the Pope was relative to that. And he's promoting a green religion. He's not even promoting the fallen Catholic part. And this is a totally different issue. And these are all just covers to get our curry our favor, as they said in the other article. But all this is lies. All this Ukraine thing, and not just what I'm saying, but like I said, the war and things, it's all lies, a source says, according to Seymour Hersh. U.S. government and media lying about Ukrainian counteroffensive. Now, understand, you got to go back to the Pope and Clintons and this organization and all this humanitarian. If they're doing that and they don't talk out about this lie, they either, again, are not an infallible, they're fallible, and they are not doing their due diligence. And so even if they weren't in on it, the globalization factor, and Ukraine wasn't the focus of that, and they weren't a lot of plunder that could be taken care of to do the humanitarian aid, which you see the Pope's right in on, they're not doing their due diligence to notice all this is a big lie. As I said, it's a kabuki theater. It's a cover for other things. The war is over, the source is saying, and I've said it's over. So, I mean, this is once you look at this thing and you understand what Russia does and is, you understand that they were willing, that they were, not just were, they did sacrifice 26 million of their own to prevail in World War II. You're not dealing with a flippy floppy people. You're dealing with some people that really pay attention and are willing to go to the wall. And you don't want to be between them and the wall. And so we didn't hit this thing like they did. Anybody who's looking at this already realizes that Russia's not in it in a war. They said it's an operation. They're continuing the operation. They've already said what they're going to do, and they're doing it. And everyone wants to think this was a war, and they were misguided, and they thought that there was supposed to be a winner. And they didn't realize there was a loser as soon as it got started. Neither here nor there for this. The war is over, they said. Russia has won. There is no Ukrainian offensive anymore, but the White House and the American media have to keep the lie going. Taxpayer. The sentiment is shared by many figures in the U.S. intelligence community, and the CIA in particular has been skeptical of Kiev's claims of a continued push forward, unlike the Pentagon Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA. The explained note, but they still ask for money. It's all a lie, but they still ask for money. Ukraine has already lost in the conflict with Russia, and they still, I just understood, they sent another package over there, another military package, and the taxpayer foots the bill. And I guess I want to keep niggling in my brain. If we were on a sound money system, they couldn't do that. They could only go when the gold went over to pay for it. They could only go when the gold transferred. But no, we don't do that. And this is how this has all been starting. It's not just a war. It's not just even the politics. Well, money can be politics, and that's what they did. In 1971, they stripped the United States from the ability to maintain itself. And it went hog wild. Fraud after fraud since then. The U.S. imperial debt cult, which is what's paying for this death cult, admits it provoked proxy conflict in Ukraine. Now, I'm going to take issue with the proxy issue. There's no proxy going on. They want to say, this is all theater. You don't start a war and just hand someone the gun and then hand them the bullets and then continue handing them single bullets, single tanks, a few here, a few, decide whether or not you're going to send the airplanes or not. No, you don't come to a war that way, especially against a peer like Russia. U.S. imperial death cult admits it provoked proxy conflicts in Ukraine. We'll go with it, but it's not a proxy war. If it were a war, it wouldn't be fought piecemeal, right? They're stretching this thing out. It's an economic war that the government, the United States, lost, but it wasn't about that either. It's for the government to take advantage of Europe and other places. But they're not well positioned there either. And then it's not even about that. Now, I hope you're all following this. There is a globalization going on. So the United States, due to the so-called economic sanctions, is spitting into the wind. It came right back at them. You saw that happen. The U.S. taxpayers are getting tired of it, though. And I'm hoping so. Somebody's got to rise up and get fed up with this thing. Now, I don't know about the taxpayer having much leverage because you got to pay, I guess they say. No one knows how to do a status challenge and all that. But at any rate, that's just another problem with our ignorance of this society and how we may have been dumbed down, but it's not an excuse. U.S. taxpayers know White House wastes their money on Ukraine. So this theme today, I guess, happened to become part of the taxpayers paying for all this harm that comes to them and all the rest of them. You know, if you're not a taxpayer, I guess you're still included in this plunder because they're taking your life because it's not about Ukraine. It's just a show. Having funneled billions of dollars worth of supplies to Ukraine, probably one of the most corrupt countries in Europe, the United States government suddenly had an idea to look into exactly how this money is being spent by Kyiv. But when you find out it's only a few billion that they spent, relative to what? Ukraine's chump change in this. Where are the taxpayers all disgruntled about the $21 trillion of unsupported adjustments we heard between 1998 and 2015 from the Pentagon? Remember that? So, yeah, well, we may be disgruntled. We know the White House wastes money, but the whole government seems to waste money, and everybody seems fine with it. There isn't a outrage on the Congress right now while they're going to extend the government's failures against us and continue to raise the debt ceilings, they call it. And it's not even really there in a way. It's all, what is it? It's debt. It's a hole, right? It's a hole in, it's a stinking abyss that we live in. Don't really realize it. And the taxpayer is living in that debt system. Why it continues. So you have another thing going on. They're talking about not funding the government right now. Maybe it's time. It's going to be tough. But it's going to be the better medicine, I think. And it's not going to be an mRNA style that they keep reprogramming you. So they're doing that also with this taxpayer paying out the nose. Without decongestants now, I guess. But this other religion, which you tie with the Pope and the Clintons and the climate change thing going on, this is a major cost in the world. It's not just happening now. It's not been happening even since 2015 or 2010 when I was talking about it. It's what I started to learn about as I'm coming through and I started realizing things on how the United States has already taken down. It was receptive. It was injected with a whole lot of corruption in order to receive this green religion, the thing that the Pope and the Clintons and the President, the ex-President of the United States, all promote now. It'll be at our expense, like the Clinton Foundation is doing to Haiti. But Germany, it's not, again, global, it's all global. Germany warns EU about dangerous green proposal. New building rules may cause backlash. See, they're terrified of the natives getting restless. And I've been asking people to educate yourself, learn what's going on, study what's going on, and become a backlash. Move, beat on them, right? The backlash, behind what you said. Beat on them. Don't let them beat on you. You do the stop. You have to stop. If you don't stop a criminal, they'll continue. Enacting stricter building codes in the name of combating climate change may cause a dangerous backlash benefiting the far right, German Finance Minister Christy Lindner said in an interview published Tuesday. The popular backlash to the heating bill has served as a lesson about the EU proposal, Lindner told the outlet, adding that green mandates and the growing body of EU regulations, quote, undoubtedly play a role in the rise of parties like Alternative for Germany, AfD. A recent poll showed that AfD is the second most popular party in Germany with up to 22%. And so the establishment is terrified of breakout groups and people being outraged that actually can bring the lashing back to the government. Yeah, it's kind of cumbersome. But it's one avenue. Do I like it? No, but that's one avenue. There may be others that you have to find. I have other things that suited me a little bit better than this thing. But this is they're telling us the Pope's not infallible. They're telling us, they also do it through these codes, this is what I've been telling you. The buildup inside your governments of the United States of America is in your county codes and your code enforcements and the leverage funding for all that and the special services that they bring on and all the extra fees and fines and taxes they put on you for special projects to help you, like drug addiction and all this other stuff that they bring down. I guess now we're going to have a vaccine for. Now, we won't have a vaccine until they change that definition. So you got to make sure they can't change that definition. They should be aware of doing that. But here, these so-called leaders really understand that they're sitting, they're monitoring the problem, and green proposals are not cutting it. They're now cutting too deep into people, and people are responding. It helps when we see, and for the taxpayer, and you know how much wildfires are costing the taxpayer. If you don't, you should find out these things. And when you find out these are to manage the fire all summer long instead of suppress it immediately as best you can, then you might understand what the real problem here is. The taxpayer is getting the backlashing. That's the way this place now was wired. It's all commerce, and no one's understood how to, not nobody, but very few people understood about that to start to bring a more proper response to avoid it and or just say no in the proper way. It's not just saying no. You're not saying no to anything. I don't think people appreciate this. You're innocent of a problem. You're not saying no to a problem that doesn't exist. What you're saying no to is a trespass of someone trying to put it on you. And that's what I wanted to show through the Kobe swindle and the simple communicable disease code. It's all in one spot, essentially. You don't have to go too far to see that there's duties in the government. They are limited governments, and they don't fulfill that. But here we have the taxpayer. Where do I go? I will go to wildfire. Why? Because they blame it on climate change. And we had an interesting, maybe a real scientist here. I think he might be. He tried to look at what he did. Scientists say he left out the full truth to get climate change wildfire study published in a journal. Interesting here. Yeah, this is what we see. If you want to get paid, if you want to get published, you do what the people that are checking and balancing the system for what it needs to say and the propaganda it wants to put out and the misinformation and disinformation it's creating. What Arden was saying, the war of free speech is to take rid of your voice and keep ours in play. The scientist has left out of all the truth, the full truth. And what's interesting is what he mentions in this is what I've been telling y'all. In other words, not maybe that I know so much in the regard of, oh, I'm right. I'm only right on what I've been reading and I remember. And I hope I remember it accurately, that if you study the subject matter of wildfires, you find out what the answer is. And I've talked to you about all this. But this scientist, the guy who studies it himself, that's his life, he understands there was something else, and he was currying favor of a journal just to get himself printed, because he wouldn't get printed otherwise. Brown, this gentleman, the scientist, wrote that the study didn't look at poor forest management and other factors that are just as, if not more, important to fire behavior because, quote, I knew that it would detract from the clean narrative centered on the negative impact of climate change and thus decrease the odds that the paper would pass muster with nature's editors and reviewers. He added, such bias in climate science, quote, misinforms the public and makes practical solutions more difficult to achieve. Just what I've been saying, folks. This is like the Kobe swindle. When you didn't identify an infectious agent, people that got sick weren't being treated. That's the same problem. You have no solutions for what you're actually having to deal with. But he identifies, and he says, he's hesitating here, it's most important is proper forest management. Not managing a fire management. After it starts, it's stopping it before it starts as best you can. As I've explained in the past, a long time ago, a properly managed forest is one that's, let's say, harvested. It would be the best way to go do this for the most part, not in every instance, but to a density, tree density, for the local environmental conditions and the window of variance. To allow for what they call in America, what used to be, and they removed this so you can't tell, Class 1 fire resistance. In other words, that's a self-extinguishing forest. So climate change, if it was real, a weather heating condition, would have been in the proper forest management, they would have been cutting more trees because they would have been more susceptible to fire. But they're not doing that. That was the first clue. We're not doing any of it. I was glad to see this. I'm glad somebody stepped up. Why? Because if you don't do proper forest management and we don't stop this forest management, which we did with legislation in the county, and that shut it down for 2 years until the arsonists showed up, like you're seeing up in Canada. Same plan, folks. We were able to show and prove that there was a fire suppression. Fire suppression is what's important. Now, it doesn't mean and guarantee all fires can be put out, but we wouldn't have prescribed burns, which we stopped too during the summer either, but get out of hand. And anyway, so there's a whole thing behind this. Scientists left out the full truth that, again, and Nature, a respected journal that, if you can still respect it, was misinforming people, is government. While they tried to say, you're misinforming. They would say, I'm misinforming. I would be considered a Russian protagonist and killed by this Carrillo guy. Maybe. Maybe. So this is all what I've been saying behind the woodshed. The forest management is the main problem, which, again, if it was true, that the boiling world would be taken into account. Okay. No boiling in a fire. But anyway, I guess it doesn't boil in the fire. You know, you can put a styrofoam cup on a fire and only the parts that don't have water in it will burn, will melt. The rest won't until that water's gone. Pretty cool trick. But what happened? See, now he outs himself and said, listen, I didn't tell the whole truth. We have some other issues we didn't even look at, because if we'd have looked at that and tainted the climate change agenda that the Pope infallibly says is going to kill us all, and Clintons, we all have to work together for Ukraine humanitarian democracy. What happened when he outed himself? There's a story, we can get a link on it, you can look around and find this stuff. He denounced his own climate change research. Patrick Brown said that in a quest of a clean narrative, editors and reviewers ignore the factors beyond climate change, which I've told you, climate change is not about the weather. It's the political climate changing. Well, you heard Soros involved and the Clintons moving through and destroying this country. You thought he was the president of the United States helping us? No, that's not about. The subsequent uproar shows that a time of escalating extreme weather disasters, identifying the extent to which climate is driving them, has become contested scientific territory. Oh, well, folks, I guess the science is not settled. That's all I want to show you here. He outed himself, and he got a backlash. But he's on the side of truth to expose he didn't do enough. And I guess I can only honor that truth and that he did that. And we just need a whole lot more of those folks stepping up. And there's a whole lot more to this science. There's a whole lot more to forest fire managing. There's a whole lot more. There's a whole policy for far that. It says where the authority is. It's consistent with the Constitution. For all you constitutional people, you want to assert the 10th Amendment, go to the fire policy, national fire policy. Go get a download. You can read it. Put a document. Look carefully. Go read through and find out where the ultimate authority and jurisdiction is for fire management. Fire suppression. I don't even think they make a management provision for that. This is our failure as a people. We don't even enforce our own Constitution, even though we'll talk about a lot of it. I kind of marveled a little bit looking at, I went and dissed the lawmakers sometimes and the lawyers, but the lawmakers and lawyers get together to make law. When they're following the law, it's pretty impressive how the law is followed. You know, some of you donors may mock me on what I just said there, but it's interesting how good this stuff can really work. I'm not saying it all works well. I'm saying that when you start recognizing authorities and jurisdictions and the powers, the actual powers, and don't go into fraud like we saw and experienced Kobe swindle or even the fires or anything else, it's pretty impressive how it all kind of works out for the most part. But where we have misinformation, they don't mind giving us the misinformation. The scientists came up and told us that, and it didn't say anything different than I hadn't said. No, if you study the subject matter, you have to come to the truth if you do it right and honest. And that just checks me. I was doing it honest, and it wasn't just my work. As I told you, I work with another ecologist, a college-trained, papered Berkeley ecologist who understand old thought. In the day, he was trained in the day in school about science and ecology. So he was from one of the hubs of deceit today. And so between what I knew and my fire experience and sciences and things like that and environmental things and law and his information, which was from practice, in the field with industry to keep everything working, and ecological for no, and environmental even, folks, before it was a thing. But the proper way, it certainly gave me an insight of how it could be done. Long-term 30-year studies working out to show us in places that he was involved with in how it's supposed to be done. And when I don't see that, I realize we're not dealing in reality. We're dealing with these certain psychosis I can't identify the cause for. But where the government wants to misinform us, the U.S. frets over deep fake threats to national security. Again, the go-to poster child, an NSA mathematician, Candace Rockwell Gertzner, said in a statement, organizations and their employees need to learn to recognize deep fake tradecraft and techniques and have a plan in place to respond to minimize impact if they come under attack. So the lead in here is to maintain any resistance. You should too. There is a thing I've been talking about recently. Now we see the term tradecraft. And I guess in the industry, I guess you use this term craft. Deepfake tradecraft. This is just deception, propaganda, tradecraft. And so they're saying that you need to identify, that figure out a way to identify and recognize these so-called deepfakes. How about we just extend it to misinformation, disinformation, mismanagement, maladministration of the government. You need to learn to recognize these deep fakes. If you don't think Kobe Swindle was a deep fake, notwithstanding what you heard behind the witch head to identify it was going to be a deep fake before it happened and then how to deal with that, then you're missing what I've been saying when this lady here is talking about it. Recognize the deep fake tradecraft and techniques and have a plan in place to respond to minimize the impact that they come under if you come under attack. It's all I've been saying. The government frets over this relative to it and puts it on a national security platform for it to have power. I've been asking you to put your own national security together, and when these folks come after you, recognize the deep fake and call it out. Have a plan. Start to, and I've been giving tools on how you create the plan. So, again, the misinformation on climate change, the misinformation on the vaccines, if that are not, the bioweapons that they don't tell you about, that they move in at warp speed, is all part of this overarching plan, which has been denied by people. That, oh, you can't put this together like that. How can you tell this and that? Well, just read enough, and you start to see, not only do you read it and see it, you can predict it. You can look and find the documents that was predicting it. Not much different than a lot of y'all when you found out about Event 201. You say, well, here it is. They talked about it. Here's how they planned it. Here, not that a lot of the researchers went out and started to track it down. So much so, one even went off a little bit even further and found the contracts for the DOD connection I was telling you about. It would be a military operation. Where did I get that? Not from the contracts. I got that from our history. Watching how the military had managed. And no, I have the Libra code in every broadcaster. If you just go to the bottom and start reading it. It's quite a read. You knows them when you see them is part of that whole point. You knows them when you see them. They don't have to tell you they're violating you. You have to identify it. And so here they have it right here. You need to maintain a resistance. You want to maintain it. You have to be able to identify these deep fakes. And I just extend that to any lie a government official might tell you, any action they may take that has no support, and how you go about identifying it and what you can do to be part of the resistance, and for yourself, if nothing more. And Kobe Swindle gave it to each one of us. And this deception goes global. It's all part of the climate change. You see the Clintons, again, the Pope, it's all global. It's all interaction. It's all under humanitarian causes. And don't forget, human, the word human that I could find originates in about 1430 or so, 1436, the first time the word human, and it came from the church itself. And that's why I make a distinction between humanitarian humanism, what they're doing through all this, and mankind, where I went and saw the NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, is a supplemental act of law to support environmental laws, and it says that the balance is in favor of mankind. They don't use the word human, and that's proper. Because if you look at the constitutions, men, and that's not to disparage women, they're all considered as man is the creation. Man has a remedy for injustice. We don't enjoy it, but that's what's there in written. That we don't enjoy it should have been our first problem. But this is global, this whole thing, this misinformation, What you see on the front isn't really what's going on behind. India's G20 legacy, how Bharat enabled opening a half a billion bank accounts in record time. As we've been talking, for the global initiative to work, they need to be able to track and trace everybody. Kobe Swindle offered that initial point. It actually offers one of the reasons, no contacting. So now they get to move mentality through to that. They get your buy-in to that part of it. Oh, you don't want to touch nobody. You don't want to touch your dirty money. Well, why don't you go to copper and, even copper was used, but gold and silver. Silver itself would kill, you know, the many bacteria as well. So why didn't we just do that? That would be kind of fun, won't you think? We just carry a coin in our pocket like we were supposed to in our hand. It might have helped us quite a bit. But here we have, speaking of deepfakes, the bribes, bribes of that nature to here to self-destruction, significantly we hear and read in this article, both the initiatives are based on the use of public digital rails, wherein both the private and public sectors can innovate on top of this digital infrastructure. The moniker for this open digital economy, right? Open digital economy, you open like Soros. Essentially, these are interoperable digital building blocks enabling key functions like identity and payments. So crucial. India, I told you, they tried to open up, and they did make a half of a billion bank accounts in record time. It was unheard of when they did that. But they showed it can be done and how fast people will adopt. It also says they can only get 80%. This is a key. That was like the number for Kobe Swindle, wasn't it? They didn't want to take that jab. But interesting how fast they were able to move and get people to work. And what they were trying to do, they used people that are not banked. It would be like someone like myself. They attempt to get, and it's inducement. I'd like to see that, and you don't have to go so far. But they have to get all your information to bank you. You become the part of what's in their bank. And what they need is they get your identity with that. So that's a crucial for how this future globalism will work in identifying. And the lack of, when you look at that, they come in and they want you, it makes it sound like they're feeling, trying to help you out. Well, let's give everybody bank accounts. But when you find out underneath, the open digital economy happens to be globalism. It's not such a good gift. Another addiction, they get you working on this too. It's like an addiction. I wonder if they'll ever have a vaccine for this one. I doubt it. But the lack of value that they actually put, your value is really what they can do, take from you, essentially, with your consent. And we move that limited value idea. We're talking about India, the country, but now we talk to a student from India. Outrage after U.S. cop says dead Indian student had limited value. This is the country we now live in. For all the warm and fuzzy, they would say the cops are for us. Remember, they are a public service, not your service. And they don't have a duty to serve you. But this is an interesting story as well. Outrage, they say. Okay, Seattle police have released a body cam footage showing an officer laughing after a fatal incident involving a patrol car. And this brings up an interesting thing about witnessing. What do we witness? And I'm going to give a little bit, just because it opens up a conversation, a little bit to the cop in a way here. When he explains, though I don't know if it's the truth, I'm going to accept it's the truth just for the moment because it's an interesting angle that he was doing. Might show he's actually empathetic, but we don't know about the follow-up. The student Adir claimed, the cop Adir claims his remarks had been intended to mock city lawyers. I was imitating what a lawyer tasked with negotiating the case would be saying and being sarcastic to express that they shouldn't be coming up with crazy arguments to minimize the payment, the officer said, according to a complaint obtained by the outlet. I laughed at the ridiculousness of how these incidences are litigated and the ridiculousness of how I watch these incidents play out when two parties bargain over a tragedy. This is an interesting take. Given it's true, he's showing us what the behind the scenes is of the government. Again, they don't mind killing you, and then they laugh off. They think money. See, this is about commerce. Money will pay all bills. Money will settle all accounts, whether or not it does. Again, there's stuff that you cannot pay with money. But that's what our system boils down to. Mocking lawyers, though, that's interesting. If true, that's no ethics in the Bar Association members. Whatever promotion to the contrary. I mean, you hear that, right? I mean, this is what we're seeing right here. If this guy's being honest, it's pretty, it's an indictment. You have no value to the Bar Association. This is your judicial system now in America. Likely everywhere, it's your judicial system. The Bar Association is most places, not everywhere. So I hope you get that. This is the just us system is a deep fake. And one day I hope people finally get that in math. I mean, big time get this to come together and do something about it. And I don't know what more that can be said about that. We have a big misunderstanding about it. I have an insight about it. I can show people how their case is going to go. I can tell them how to show how to do the what appears to be the things you're supposed to do and get denied. I can see the injustice. I see this cop saying, hey, this thing's going to go into, we did a big wrong here that this needs to be compensated. If that's true, that's an empathetic cop. I don't want to lose his contribution. It could be a lie. I don't know that, but I'm going to give him a little bit of credit because it actually points to something that's more of a truth. It's a just us system. And if you haven't done the study, I have, relative to states whose laws were overthrown. Your permanent laws of the people were overthrown for Model Business Corporation Act, and the Bar Association did that behind the scenes in legislation. It's in your statutes if you go look and read. That's why people think it's a corporate system. It is. But you can't tell them that because they won't agree with you. But you see little hints and fits and starts of it, of your organic law, if you listen carefully, when they say that their law fits first, in the state, works first, and where that doesn't work to fulfill an obligation, a greater obligation like a constitutional right, we'll listen to it second. That's an occupying force. But at any rate, interesting story here. Outrage is cop. Yeah, it is going to be an outrage. And yeah, the guy, you know, it's pretty embarrassing in a way to hear what he did. It's outrageous. It really was outrageous to hear it. But if he was actually explaining the truth here after the fact, the outrage shouldn't be against him. It should be against that system that everyone's subject to. And so we have free speech, but then are we receiving it correctly to respond correctly is another problem, a whole different problem. Free speech, Twitter PSYOP. I'm going to move in now. Well, what is this speech? What is this that we're doing, that we listen to, that we pick up, that we take on? This one's to the other thing, the globalism that's underfoot. That keeps offering things to us. This one spoke to something I've been saying all along. Someone writes about it. Free speech, Twitter, PSYOP. It's never a very enjoyable experience facing the fact that you've been bamboozled, realizing that you've fallen prey to an elaborate con or PSYOP. It's painful. It's embarrassing. People feel ashamed. No one likes to see themselves a sucker. It's humiliating. It makes people angry. It makes them want to lash out at someone. Funny thing is, it usually isn't the person who conned them and they want to lash out at. Doing what that would only make them feel more ashamed. Typically, who people want to lash out at when they finally realize that they've been bamboozled are the people who didn't get bamboozled along with them, but who tried to warn them that they were being bamboozled. Now, he's talking about the situation with everything that we see on X and how this has been set up. And he goes, this happens more or less every time that people start to realize I was right about PSYOP or a con and that I warned them about Russiagate, COVID, the free speech Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it today. Again, he's identifying what I've identified. He sees this thing as a setup. It's a setup no different than the Pope and the Catholic Church actually promoting a green religion, which is actually pagan in a way and not even that. It's politics. And it's to get politics and the Clintons. I mean, on and on and on. When does the PSYOP stop? It continues. It's not stopping. And so I don't know. The embarrassment won't happen for quite a while. This writer is C.J. Hopkins is explaining the things I've been suggesting to you. And responding over to X, the Emperor Elonicus, and how the Twitter files and the textbook limited hangout, and who pointed out how Musk shut it down as soon as it was served its purpose, and who referred to some of them as Mark Musk cultists and suckers, and who tweeted sarcastic tweets, and he makes a reference here relative to what his observations were all this time, relative to Musk and being part of the bigger picture, the bigger globalism to get everybody into, let's say, like the India's bank accounts, to give a bank everybody, to get people to pay him in order to be verified and identified and given perks if you pay him. And now I understand you can pay even more if you want more perks. Whatever the perks are, on the backside, it's all commerce to him. I don't know why people haven't seen this. But I'm glad to see this article identifying what I have seen in a, maybe slightly other ways, maybe even more specific. There's just so much to talk about, I can't do it here behind Woodshed. But we're being costed at every level. And how we don't, why, that we don't shut it down, I guess I should say, that we give too much to it is concerning to me. You know, I use the Twitter just to get my word out, otherwise it doesn't get out. Not that many people come to the website. Not that many people continue to listen. Only a few people will listen longer than a few minutes. And my stuff isn't a soundbitey at all. I know that. And I don't know. I've been thinking, how do you make it smaller so that it is more soundbitey? But I'm not into that. I just never have been. There's a whole continuum of information that has to be held in your mind to see how we're being manipulated, where it's taking us, that there is a track with a train coming on time, and we don't want to be near that, on that track, and now we find out near it because it may not be the right train, they'll just cause it to be destroyed, and all the cargo contaminates the territory. You want to be anywhere near that. You want to have your own territory that they can't come at. But free speech, Twitter, in quotes, is interesting in that I've never thought that it was. I don't know how anybody comes to the conclusion that Elon Musk, again, as I make the Microsoft Skype issue, which I understand I think is being deprecated, they're not using that anymore, but they pick up stuff for intelligence, for monetization, for information, big data. Remember the big data thing. This is what this is all about as we move through what we think climate change. No, it's this stuff. This is all this stuff when they talk about sharing responsibility is this stuff. And there's going to be only a few that are in control and running it. We move into more cop issues here. Killer U.S. cops hit with new charges. Keeping your trust is the point here. And the theme that I moved in through, keeping the trust. They keep your trust. They make causes that you support. Sounds good on the surface, and you go with it. And I can't fault that part, but to not do the due diligence. Like if I was to give stupidity a chance with the Clintons, despite all their action, or the Pope, they're not doing their due diligence. They trust in a concept that we find a scientist saying, well, I didn't give you enough information to make a decision. And so you see, that's another lesson. Maybe you're not giving enough information to make a decision either. And that takes a lot more, another type of insight, actually. You're having to put together what doesn't quite seem quite enough. In other words, you're even testing whether or not you can find holes in something, even if it's true, because you're always having to test it. We're not free from having to test it. But keeping your trust is all about what we're here talking here on this story, despite all the evidence to the contrary. Here, the quote, the country watched in horror as Tyre Nichols was kicked, punched, tased, pepper sprayed. And we all heard Mr. Nichols cry out to his mother and saying, I'm just trying to go home, Attorney General Merrick Garland said in a statement. Quote, officers who violate civil rights of those they are sworn to protect undermine public safety, which depends on the community trust in law enforcement. And so he's just trying to keep your trust. We don't see him doing that in all laws to all people, like he says, Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States. But it's good to see that there's new charges putting up against the five officers that beat Terry Nichols to death. We shouldn't have a policing force that even comes close to that. There should not. Well, I mean, unless you literally you're attacking them. What happened to the peace, the peaceful community, the peace officer? It's not what you're seeing. These are public officers. These are police officers, not peace officers. They don't, like, it's like they don't have mind one to be peaceful. And I have, again, I understand the feral community is out there and they got to be careful. But this is an embarrassment. That even Merrick Garland, this is only five cops. This happens all the time. And is it only the five cops that do this? This is how they keep the trust in law enforcement? I don't think so. Yeah, I hope more people, the taxpayers at least, will start to see that there's something amiss big time. And I don't know how you do that in a place where the people, the seats of decision, are sold on things like climate change and inclusivity and the LGBT gender confusion as a thing that has rights more than anybody else. That's the other problem. If that's your identity, whatever your identity is, that's what it is. Don't make it, don't stick it in everybody's face. Keep that to yourself and to those who agree with you. Again, I'm not. That's not my perspective initially until I started looking at it through the eyes of the guy that told me who was gay. He was terrified of where this would go. This stuff blows me away. So many years ago, he saw this. The community there saw this would be the outcome, that this would be politicized and used as a weapon against us. He didn't talk in terms of inclusivity, though. It was more matter of fact, just the logic of the thing. And so we, as a people, we've lost our ability to hold the line, if you will. I think that's a new phrase coming in. We've got to hold a line. We've got to find out what that line is. I've been trying to show you how you identify where the line is, and it's not in you. You should be free, and you should be innocent. And you should be free and innocent to do what you want to do, as long as it doesn't infringe on someone else. It's the officials that are not holding to the line. And in this case, I would hope Merrick Garland is doing it correctly to enforce a law upon the officers where they killed someone. That shouldn't have been a sentence that's prejudicial. And because of all this, the world laughs at us, and I have a story on this now. The world is laughing at the U.S., so says the Alaskan governor, not about killing people, but deliberately restricting oil and gas drilling makes absolutely no sense. Again, the psychosis that's in the world. There's no reality. These people that speak through climate change is like as if they are divorced from any reality, and they're just making it up, and somehow a lot of other people agree and want to hear it and want to listen. But there's gobs and gobs of people that like to hear this stuff. They're all the same, apparently psychosis. Is there a vaccine against that infectious agent? I would hope so, because that's what we need to fix. As long as we like as the cancers like the Clintons and the Pope working around the world to destroy people underneath the smiley face of, well, we're inclusivity and sharing responsibility. The world is laughing at us. They're laughing together at the United States of America. They're also fed up with the United States of America, the governor said here. But no, he didn't say that here. I said that. But he says that they're laughing at together at the United States of America. I can't find anywhere he says in really the history of nation states or empires where they worked at hobbling themselves to such a degree that that's happening currently with this administration. So 2024 can't come soon enough for most of us. Dunleavy said that this makes absolutely no sense from any perspective unless your goal is to drive up the cost of oil and gas so much that it makes certain renewables cheaper. And what is this about? Biden's administration shut down, canceled 7-10-year oil drilling leases. This is an attack on your infrastructure. Again, this is not within the law. This is just to drive an agenda that we can find that is not good for anybody. This is holding back resources that a nation's resources that you need, and that's a war crime as well, given it was an attack. And if I look at the United States attacking a foreign nation called Arizona under its organic thing, I can see very well this is a war crime. But we're not keeping the public trust here. For the taxpayer, when you do that, not only under the excuse of what they call climate change or these fossil fuels, you're bringing an agenda that's going to do nothing more than to destroy people. It's going to raise up costs in the future. It's going to make life miserable. You're not going to have the money to be able to do it. You're either going to have help or you're going to die or hopefully we'll go real quick like a bunny. And we figure out an alternative way to do all this and start living maybe more organically. And I don't mean just growing food. I mean the species, the gold, the silver, how we deal with each other, that we deal with each other instead of through these internet things. I think the governor here speaks pretty accurately that there is a mind out there that would say when you have something and you complain about your life and you don't take and use the tools that you have, in this case oil and gas, and complain, or try to exploit somebody else, that's not going to, well, is that the new phrase, is the bad optics at least? No, we're a laughing stock on many levels. Right? I don't know how people get trust in this administration this way, not to say that I would support any other one, because I don't see, again, as I talk about these things and try to point out, I don't see any other candidates that are going to do much different. They seem to come, most of them come soundbite stumping, and they appeal to you by what they say in short phrases, but there's no going to be a follow-through. Their history doesn't allow for it as far as evidencing it. Or you have the other side of it, where you see people, in particular with Trump, pretty straight talker, it seems, but he didn't fulfill what he actually could have done. He's making promises to do what he didn't do before. He doesn't explain how he's going to do that. Like, he doesn't explain a lot. If you listen carefully, he doesn't really explain it. And there's a reason why you wouldn't, and he says it, but it's not really true when you're looking for somebody to say, okay, well, how would you solve it? He won't tell you. If I did that, he says, I'll lose my advantage. Yeah, well, your advantage for what, I guess? But here we have this administration and laughing stock. We don't use our oil and gas. And really, folks, for as much as I thought about electric cars when I was young and want, I don't think they're bad. They have a use, and they have a use and a particular use. And once they're used in that, they're fun. And a lot of that would be like local transiting for yourself. Nothing long distance, nothing a lot of power or long duration. And this long duration and a demand is where these things will fail. Notwithstanding, where do you get the power for electric vehicles in the green religion wanting to promote all that? But so straightforward, and Trump does this really well. Trump mocks Biden over electric tanks. Laughing stock, folks? Boy, this one hit that nail right on the head. Green military vehicles are far less capable of conventional hardware, the former U.S. president said. That's not even you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. As part of this effort last year, the U.S. Army unveiled a plan to field an all-electric, light-duty, non-tactical vehicle fleet by 2027. So let's just stop right there. What are you going to do for a tactical fleet? It can't be green. See, again, that's just politics anyway. It's going to have to use an energy source that is logistically capable of keeping up with a demand like a war, which means they're planning to go to war as well. But with all tactical vehicles expected to become environmentally friendly by 2050. They're not worried about winning the war here. They're wanting to be environmentally friendly, you notice. However, for now, U.S. officials say that the focus is on introducing hybrids rather than all-electric units, citing technology issues and the lack of conceptual understanding how such equipment should be deployed. And there's your psychosis, lack of reality. Hybrid systems are neat. Those are another thing that you could use. But they have to be powered by something. And I don't know where they want to go with all this, but you'll find, when you look at everything from an energy standpoint, their energy has to come from something, and a lot of it's pretty expensive. And fossil fuels at this point is the only thing we have at this point that really is a compact powerhouse that can do what we want, and for quite a long time, and logistically adequate. So remember, you have to charge your tank, I guess, and they talk about the citing technological issues and lack of conceptual understanding. That's the minimum of this whole thing. The hybrids would be interesting, but a lot of hybrids are made because you can recoup some, and it's all at a loss. Remember this, you're not getting all your energy back. When you have a hybrid, you can utilize a more efficient acceleration from a standing, let's say, for a car, stop and go driving. And when you go to stop, you can have a regenerative system to recharge back. When you go down the road and you're going for a long time, you can then turn on your hybrid, your gas engine, and you can take the more efficient time when that is operating and use that in the time when it's most efficiently being used, better than your battery draining. And so when you go to stop again, then you have regenerative braking back to the battery, which will start you up and get you going in the worst time for an engine, internal combustion motor, is in the transition phase. So there's a good reason to have hybrids, and they're pretty cool. But where are you going to go down a hill with a tank to regenerate your power is not even a reality. But where does my other additional thought would be, green, you got to go completely green by 2050. Where does an army get the electrical power from in the battlefield? The nearest wind or solar farm to plug in overnight? Are they going to be able to do it that quickly? And this green obsession isn't, why isn't this green obsession not a national security concern either? Because it always got me going. So, I mean, such a concern is national security, again, as we heard before, is a go-to for the DHS regarding any invented thing for you, right? Everything you do is national security. Why wouldn't this be a national security? We're right into war. Where that would be the big deal? Where do you go plug in when you get rid of all your infrastructure for fossil fuels? Has anybody worked this out? No, they admit they haven't worked it out. This is the whole thing about this. And the DHS, when they're going after you for national security and misinformation and all that, they're working with agencies like the ADL. And they're as corrupt as can be. We should actually take the A off. Yeah, they are the Defamation League. And this is coming out of the news now. And to Musk's credit, although I think he did wrong, he put this on a poll. Should I sue the ADL? And what that was a business decision. He should have not put that as a poll. I'll just suggest to you there. He did not fulfill his duty as a businessman to put that as a question. He either decides to go after the ADL and stop that defamation or not on his part. And they'll put this, what we were talking earlier, the hate. Where does this guy that wants to kill all Russian propagandists in Ukraine, where did the ADL come in on that? They didn't. No, they're going to support all that democracy. Why isn't the green obsession a national security concern for the DHS? I mean, I don't... Again, it stopped making sense, didn't it? So if the ADL is causing a problem, why aren't they a threat? Why aren't anybody on their radar, too? They just make up illusionary terrorists, which allow them the warm and fuzzy cover under national security to come after you. Now, we don't call this out. An electric tank isn't a higher threat? I mean, really? This is a joke, right? This is a joke. But you notice they're actually thinking about they want to say that. This shows us who the so-called leaders are and how probably close to defeat we are if we ever got involved. And if anybody hasn't looked at Ukraine to see what's going on, I'm not so sure the United States is prepared in Europe to pull off a war directly anyway. They're already crying they can't pull off with the fossil fuel tanks and missiles and artillery that they have. They just don't have enough relative to logistics that Russia could pull together if they went to war, real war. And so who's fooling who? Who is the national security threat? And yet you see in the news that Trump is, you know, charged civilly relative to his issues to take him out to continue this nonsense. It's pretty shocking. And yet I'm not even a supporter of Trump because it didn't seem like he did much inside when he did it. As I said, I've already talked a little bit about that and our integration with it. We see the Pope talking of Ukraine. We see the humanitarian. We see the Clinton Foundation. We see, you know, the military being paid by the Congress, giving money appropriated to Congress to Ukraine. The world is focused in Ukraine. It keeps talking about this. Despite its looking at other things, the G20, the West here, and the BRICS, and which is the Global South, they'll call it, have the same underlying green agenda, as I've been talking, no different or multipolar, the same green one tying Ukraine into it with this last G20. Again, it's no separateness. There's no distinction. There's no difference. It's not the hub. Ukraine's not the hub. It's just that everybody uses this as a touchstone. And I'm pointing out that when they do that, it's like associating with somebody, but they're doing it in earnest. They're moving this cause through, and it all becomes the green one, the purported cause Russia is using this issue with Ukraine to bring the global unification church, not the unification church, but the global unification of church under color of a multipolarity, as I've been pointing out. Yes, it looks like they're doing the economic thing, but if you look at their words, they're bringing people together to advance unity and parity and all this other thing, but it's an economic globalism, looks like it's different. It's not. The Ukraine conflict, multipolarity, and climate issues were on the tap of the live updates in the report of G20 summit in India. The high-profile gathering will focus on climate change and sustainable development. This is the time the Pope was doing it, right? And Russia's not different than this. China's not different. They're actually going to be the leaders of all this. The summit's agenda is expected to focus on the theme of one Earth, one family, one future, which was proposed by the host nation. The participants are expected to discuss a wide range of issues, which has already happened here, including climate change, economic development and sustainable growth, gender equality, and Ukraine conflict, as Ukraine just booted their gender equality hate monger. But here we have economic development. Now, I want to point out, locally in the United States, they have economic development laws or grants. Those aren't for people outside of commerce. Producers can't get those. When you start seeing what they're actually doing with that, you start realizing economic development is a warm and fuzzy term, but it doesn't mean what it says. It's not for just any. And a lot of the nonprofits tag on to this. A lot of the people that are promoting the agenda go get that money to economic development, and then they turn as an entity and they claim that they're helping the community do more economic development, increasing businesses. And they don't. It's just a money-sucking position. You'll see in the story here that one health, one anything. Is this issue. When you see one thing, it's one in a word, that's what this whole agenda is. You already have one health in your nation, the United States. It's everywhere, actually. If you just look around, you'll find it. The all-inclusive one, this one, the one that, and the one health, and for that, we bring up Kobe swindle again, Trump scare, Obama scare, your modernized, globalized health plunder cartel. What does Grammy Mary call it? The poison for profit system? You out there, Grammy? Hope you're doing all right. When are you going to start your broadcast? Is that about right? The poison for profit system? Under the color of helping? No, this is what they do. G20, BRICS, the West, Pope, Clinton, no difference. And I don't know why I've been focused on reminding people week after week about this connection. It looks like there's lots of multipolarity going on, lots of different things going on, but they're all pulling the strings of the same agenda ultimately. It's fascinating to watch how it's being done. I don't see the strings, but I mean, just watching it. It's pretty interesting to be able to predict it, to watch the news just develop as it's going on. And I don't see people responding to this, and so that's why I guess I'm compelled to continue to talk about it, even though it's not interesting. As I say that, I think I've had two views on Minds.com for as avant-garde as they want to claim over there. There's no interest in understanding the nuts and bolts to be able to make the right or the better decisions. In other words, put yourself in a place of understanding to quickly come to the answer you need that's defensible, they call it, is in the law, that black and white, that you can use as a shield. And the other side has to show that they have complied with it or show their breach. But otherwise, these things go on. The people get involved. They want to get involved. They want to be embraced. They want to be part of this new thing. And you're watching the nations do it. Still in the news. Did you miss it? The G20 admits African Union is permanent member. Doesn't seem like much. The Americans don't care. This is big stuff. The AU now has the same status as the European Union. This is the African Union now. Remember, this is all going to Africa. That's the pivot to Africa. All this stuff is now focusing in on them. And they're using the cover that, as I've told you, they have wealth in the ground, and they have wealth they can produce and minerals, and they're now taking claim to that, and they're being produced, but they're also being taken advantage of. I don't think they see this. On one hand, it's very good. On the other hand, it's not very good at all, relative to what they're tying themselves into. They have the same status now as the European Union relative to the G20, which was the only regional bloc with full membership. The African Union's previous designation was a, quote, invited international organization. The idea of the AU taking a permanent seat at the G20 was first advocated by Senegalese President Macky Sall, who told the UN General Assembly in September 2022 that the move would mean, quote, that Africa can at last be represented where decisions are taking the ad effect of 1.4 billion Africans. In other words, the UN has already been making decisions for these 1.4 billion. Now they're going to get an agent in the UN to go ahead and make those decisions and get their favor, curry their favor, in order to get their capitulation. Under the UN, that's global. Now, if you've been listening to me, you see how simple that was. They now get the representative authority to tell all those people, we are here, you go over there, and we'll discuss it for you. And you're cut out as a people. How fast and simple was that? How cool. One world after all confirmation. Indonesia's president calls for world to end global dichotomy. They want to say it's different and a dichotomy. It's not any of that. Underlying all this is, again, the inclusion in the economic sphere. But there's a call out. These Indonesian guys are not so out of it either. They're pretty ingrained with the UN stuff. Pretty fascinating. It's like they're little agents that they come up and now they're getting their day. This president says we need to put an end to the dichotomy that divides the world into north and south, developed and developing countries, east and west, Widodo said in a statement delivered by the press media, the Information Bureau of the President's Secretariat said on Sunday. The world must stop dividing countries into developing and developed and developing, Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated in the G20 summit in New Delhi as he urged for more equal and inclusive cooperation. Remember, I've told you about that word cooperation. I want to point out the other words, coordination. And coordination under American law recognizes the sovereignty of the jurisdiction that are meeting. Cooperation does not. Cooperation is you are in servitude to a lead agency. So when you read and understand these words, they're writing the blueprint for what's going to happen. And this guy's calling for the subversion of nations to be equal and inclusive. That's just parity to bring all these developing. He wants to end that because once they bring everybody into parity, we want to get rid of it. But you see how quickly he's come out to identify they need to go there. And this is all to be globalized sustainability. We can read here, Indonesia, which is a member of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, hopes that the world will become one big family built on the shared goal of creating a peaceful life for everyone, the president said. The theme of India's G20 presidency has been one earth, one family, one future. If you don't understand that oneness that you aren't, and what they're going to force you into that mold, you start to see how important it is to understand this and to make sure that we keep our distinction. If America has a distinction, we better learn what that was and get back to it and disregard everybody who seems to want to be a leader around this and whatever systems and mechanisms we have at this point, even though there might be futile seeming and handicapped, we better start working with them. These folks are on the run, and I've been telling you about it, and now they're moving, and they've got the dynamic is set up. Russia triggered it really well. I thought it was really well played. I don't want to undermine any tactic that's been used. They got us here, and we still ain't figured it out. The G20's Ukraine fatigue signals global South's knocking at the Western's dominated order's door. Okay, so we're not going to be different anymore. We're going to be separate. You're seeing the distinction and the difference as they keep working this out. Developing countries will no longer accept being presented with the false choice of either fighting poverty or investing resources, in brackets, to fight climate change. This is a false alternative, Lavrov stressed in the story, saying that they are making a false, this is even a false statement, that even climate change is to be fought. And poverty could be fought when the agenda that climate change brings in is shared responsibility or poverty. Think about how this has gone. These people, and Lavrov, I was really disappointed, although I can't say I'm too disappointed. This is a globalist movement. But the way they've been working the Russia geopolitical thing is pretty cool. They're pretty good players on the international stage. To have him say this, it gives me back to, if I want to give any credit to stupidity, are you that misinformed by your own government, by the world, by the things you see? Are you that ignorant? Or are you an enemy? Because what you're saying there is not going to bring on what you think, because climate change is a fraud. It's a political change of the world. And it's done by an economic servitude, debt, endless debt. In all kinds of matters. It's not just money. It's debt. Shared responsibility, remember? It's all written. That's their plan. That's the blueprint. And we have the promotion that it's globalization's gone, so we kind of, oh, it's done. We don't have to worry about it. No more globalization destroyed. G20 meeting in India signals the death of Western multilateralism. What they don't say is it's the birth of the parity system of unity around the world. So they're going to do both here. They're going to bring on globalization and sustainability in one people's indentured to fraudulent authority. I hope you're seeing all this. Again, it's Quovy Swindle on the global scale. But the promotion here is that globalism is destroyed, and you're going to think that that's what's going on, and we don't have anything to worry about. And I can't stress how wrong that would be and what a mistake that would be if we didn't step in where we are and figure out what is globalism and sustainability doing in our, what it has it done already, where are the ambassadors, where's the law, where's the leverage funding, and start to work to get it cut out. Cut out the cancer. Don't use the pharmaceuticals to do that. How are we finding that this is coming together? Globalization is not going away. Russia rejoining global trade. Despite the sanctions, Russia is rejoining global trade. Activities at the country's major ports is now approaching pre-sanctioned levels, according to a Kiel trade indicator. And so this was just a diversion. It was a real thing. They do real sanctions, but the United States, in its ineptness and incompetence, didn't do the due diligence to see that Russia and China was preparing, as you heard behind the woodshed. For years, I was saying, watch this. Let's follow the people of the United States. Anywhere that you want to be a free people, follow what these nations are doing at your level. Like, go to buy gold, get silver. Don't use it as like an investment. Use it for the fact that it means it's hedging the existence of a stable, it's a stability in your life. It's different. Again, they can't take it as a debt. Gold is, and silver is not a debt. This is critical to begin understanding. And the production that they're getting out of Africa, that's not debt. They're going to be in trade for the debt. They don't quite get this, I don't think. And what they did is they got everybody, the nation, so beat down that it's one of the only options that they think that they have. And hopefully, well, we might see some of that breaking loose. I noticed that I think it was Niger, the country that just got overthrown. They just raised the price of their uranium gobs and bunches higher, like $200 a pound or something. I don't know. So that may start to break that out a little bit. I don't think it's going to go too far. As far as you got to run a nation a lot more than that. But although now this movement in the global trade and Russia is now doing as much as pre-sanctions, we see that didn't beat them down. Russian bank could return to the SWIFT in a month. But Russia's not too impressed for a good reason on this, and the negotiating tactic. The West is likely to ameliorate the black eyes. It is sustained in throwing sanctions punches. Russia is slowly creating a financial pathway back in part where they have insisted that for this humanitarian, again, grain deal, their agricultural banks need to be re-brought back into SWIFT. So again, as we look like they were breaking apart, they're actually moving and they're transforming the way the organization, the global organization, actually will work. While the G20, Ukraine, and Biden administration are trying to recruit the fodder, their fodder recruitment projects, get a green light. Again, Ukraine is this little hub that they get to run and funnel stuff through to give us a show that we might want to buy into. Maybe not my listener, but I mean on a general scale. Remember, the odds appear to be generally 80-20%. 80% go with the flow, go with whatever the deception is. 20 may not. And we see that pretty regularly. No, but Nazi no-show Kent Boneface McClellan gets a pass after deep state thugs go to court instead of him. Now, this is an interesting story. Now, this guy went to fight in Ukraine, comes back. It looks like he's a CIA dude. I mean, trying to promote this issue. And there's a question here in the article, but if Laura Loomer's reporting is correct, there's no reason to believe that otherwise, that she witnessed a deep state maneuver to protect one of their operatives, Ken Boneface McClellan, skipped his arraignment for burglary and assault and battery. Nice guy. Instead, thugs who appeared to be feds went to the court and made arrangements for him to get a pass and not have to have an arrest warrant put out for him. Now, I'll let you read the rest of the story. I don't want to get too lost in all that. But there's this, again, more underneath the skin than we would think to get, again, fodder for Ukraine to persist and continue the war, to actually let all the nations use Ukraine as whatever humanitarian thing they will to advance the global agenda. Another story on this. Boneface backs Biden. Are U.S. neo-Nazi groups engaged in a war crimes as a CIA tool? As we start to see more of things in question, however, but no less, the CIA is using fascist groups as tools of state policy at home and abroad. I told you, the carnival mirror. What you see out there, the government does, will do it at your home. Do it in here. And so we're seeing more stories coming out that say just that. And what is this about? Again, the democracy, right? All about democracy. For the chosen, apparently. Newland lets slip U.S. supports Ukraine targeting Russia most precious assets. So this is the admission. All this has just been a ruse. These people, these dual citizens, are Russophobic hawks, and they're wanting Russia bad. This is not about what we think it is. And they're using the United States of America to pull us off. But Musk and Gosser are late to the uniparty fold, aren't they, on all this? They contribute nothing but a delayed awareness, new response. U.S. Congressman says that Newland and Blinken are dangerous fools who can get us all killed. So we have when do we stop promoting Captain Obvious in action, where we see Musk, again, promoting Musk and this Gosser guy. When do we stop this obviousness and the response where there is no action against it? And it on goes on and on and on. And then nobody is pushing the war more than Newland, Elon Musk says. Well, she started in 2014, right, in giving biscuits. Then we see the chosen few, but speaking of the fodder of the chosen, the last Ukraine genocide, apparently trademarking language and hypocrisy. This moves into that ADL problem. The rabbis across Europe are calling on the Armenian government to stop using the phrase genocide as tensions between the ADL and Elon Musk reach their apotheosis. The underlying subject of Jewish-led organizations and their influence on political discourse has arisen in the untimely coalescence with the ongoing conflict with Azerbaijan and Armenia over the region Artsakh. And we have, again, these chosen ones that are making policy for a big nation like the United States, and the United Nation goes with it, and so does the Pope, and so does the Clintons, and so does the agenda, and so does Russia itself, and China. It's all going in that direction. Now, Azerbaijan, I won't do more report. I think they've just settled. They've done a truce at the country that is trying to claim independence. The Russians are back involved, and so I'm going to be interested to see about that. But again, the rabbis are now attacking the use and trademarking of language. Talk about free speech and that you may not have it. And we sit quiet is another one of our problems. We don't have the luxury to sit quiet. Your silence is used against you in this war, the silent war against you. So as I say on my broadcast, I hope something I said today is informative, helps you out, looks you forward into the future, do your due diligence, and learn to protect yourself, and do protect yourself. I'll be with you next week. Tech this or nature will.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.